Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Thalisa Williams, and I am your faith-based community nurse. And we're in the trenches again. We're talking about health and wellness. And so my scripture tonight will be coming from 1 Samuel 2, verse 3. And it says, "Talk no more so exceeding proudly, let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed." And so tonight I'm going to talk about heat-related illnesses and looking at the news and what currently is at the forefront. I had two. One is your heat-related illnesses, and the other is colorectal cancer. So I'll do the colorectal cancer on the next broadcast because it is very much in the forefront of health issues, and especially among African-American ethnicity. But tonight I wanted to talk about heat-related issues, because right now we are having a lot of heat exhaustion, heat stroke. We have a lot of death that is related to the extreme heat that we're now having. And we know that there are certain people that are very vulnerable at this time, especially children, the elderly, even your pets, the homeless, those who work out in the heat. You know, we've had some deaths associated with people who have to work outside. And this is a big health issue right now because of the unrelenting temperatures that we're seeing throughout the United States. And in some states, they're not getting a break in extreme temperatures. I was in Texas last week for our church holy convocation. The temperatures mostly was in the hundreds while out there. Now, the thing with Dallas is that area, even though it's extremely hot, the heat is dry, but it does not negate the intensity of the temperature. So basically, we did not do a lot of going out like we normally did, mostly in the hotel, to church, and then, of course, to pick up food, or at least to, if we didn't pick it up, to eat in, and then straight back to the hotel. But not a lot of walking around. You know, a lot of times we'll do some different things, and we did not do that this time. The other thing, too, that while we were there, it was reiterated throughout every service for people to drink a lot of water and to be careful with the heat. And even in the sanctuary, they kept the temperature very cool, really cooler than it would normally be. But bearing in mind that people are coming out of the extreme heat, and so they wanted to make sure that the inside of the edifice was comfortable for everyone. So it is definitely an issue that is at the forefront of where we are now. And what I thought I would do, first of all, is break down the the different health-related illness, heat-related illnesses, and there are actually five. A lot of you are familiar with most of them, but one of the ones that you don't hear a lot about, but it does happen, is heat rash. And the heat rash is really a red cluster of small blister-like blisters that look like pimples on the skin. And it's usually on your neck or your chest or in the elbow creases, and it can be in the perineal area. And if a lot of times that comes from where people are in the extreme heat, bathing suits or extremely short shorts. And, of course, what you should do is stay in a cool, dry place, keep the rash dry, and then use a powder like baby powder to soothe the rash. And that's basically a very simple treat. And if I'm going to rate these, that would be a minor heat-related issues. The other is sunburn, and we're all familiar with sunburn. We know it's painful. We know it's red. The skin is warm. We know you can get blisters on the skin, and your skin is, if you look at it, it's just intensely hot and red. And then the thing that one of the myths is that African Americans cannot get sunburned. That's not true. And I know that we have a lot of protection in our skin, but we have to realize that a lot of our culture is intermixed, and you stay out in the sun unprotected, you can get sunburned. I know some family members of mine that get extremely sunburned. And the thing to do is stay out of the sun until your sunburn heals. Put on cool clothes on the sunburn areas or take a cool bath. Put moisturizer and lotion on sunburn areas and do not break the blisters. And a preventative for sunburn is, number one, is using a sunblock. Like when I'm working in my yard, I usually have on light colored clothing, but I have long sleeves on, and I usually have a sun hat on. When we took the kids on a youth trip to one of the amusement parks in Atlanta, Georgia, I took sunscreen because I knew that nobody was going to think of that. And, of course, I went as a chaperone and a nurse. So when I got there, I put, because we would be walking out a lot, and it wasn't the heat wasn't as extreme as it is now. So you can imagine right now. But I did have the sunscreen, and I sprayed myself, and everybody said, oh, I need some. So I sprayed everybody with the sunscreen. So that is a preventative, is not dark clothes, but wearing lightweight, light clothes and putting a hat on when you're out having to work in the sun. I do that when I'm in my yard. Fortunately, I finished that, so I don't have to worry about that right now. The other one is heat cramps. And a lot of times you can get that through heavy sweating, doing intense exercise, and then, of course, it's muscle pain or spasms. And what is happening is your electrolytes or your body chemicals, I should say, that it controls the relaxation and contraction of the muscles because of the intense heat and you're sweating a lot, it gets that out of control. And so instead of the muscles relaxing and contracting, they're contracting and spasming. And so you'll have those cramps, muscle pains or the muscle cramps. And if this, that's why it's important to be careful when you're exercising outside. If it is exercise related, you want to stop physical activity and move to a cool place because you need to cool your body down. Plenty of water or a sports drink. A lot of people, when they're exercising with the heat, they'll do Gatorade because Gatorade does replace your electrolytes. You wait for the cramps to go away before you do any more physical activity. But you do need to get medical help right away if the cramps last longer than 1 hour. The other thing, if you're on a low-sodium diet and if you have heart problems. And so that's why when you're exercising, you have to be careful more so now with this extreme heat because it's hard to control body temperature with the heat that we are experiencing. The two that we that can become more serious and we hear a lot about at this time because of the extreme amount of heat that we are experiencing is heat exhaustion and heat stroke. And your heat exhaustion, you usually have the heavy sweating, you're usually cold, pale, clammy skin. You could have a fast pulse or you could have a weak pulse. You could have some nausea and vomiting, have the muscle cramps, feeling tired or weak. You can get dizzy, headache, and you can even pass out. You can faint. The best thing to do right away is to move to a cool place. You want to loosen your clothes, and you want to put cool, wet clothes on your body or take a cool bath. And that is to bring down the body temperature. Sip some water. Again, if you're throwing up or your symptoms get worse where they last longer than an hour, you should be getting medical help right away. Heat stroke is the top of the line, and that is a very serious condition, and that's where you have a high body temperature, usually the 103 or higher. Of course, again, you hot, red, and dry or damp skin. Your pulse again can be fast and strong. You can have the headache, the dizziness, the nausea. The big thing with that is you can be confused and actually you can lose consciousness with that. With this, you just call 911 right away. You don't even waste time. You move the person to a cooler place, and you do have to lower the body temperature with cool clothes or a cool bath, but you don't give them anything to drink. This is a true emergency, and so you want to get them to emergency care right away. I was looking at the news, and they were showing in the hospital how they're treating this heat stroke, even heat exhaustion, where they're just putting them in ice because they've got to drop that body temperature right away. And so the quickest way to do that is to put them in ice. They had tubs of ice or even putting them in an area and pouring ice on them to drop the body temperature. The basic difference between a heat stroke and a heat exhaustion is basically with the heat exhaustion, just happens when your body gets too hot. And if you don't treat the heat exhaustion, then it can lead to a heat stroke. And, of course, this occurs when your internal temperature reaches at least 104. Now, your heat stroke is much more serious than heat exhaustion, and a lot of people don't understand that. Besides the things that I mentioned, it can cause shock, which is why you can become unconscious. But it also can cause organ failure, or it can cause brain damage. Heat stroke can kill you. In extreme cases, heat strokes can kill you. And that's what we have been seeing. I think it was either Phoenix or somewhere in California. They're tallying up the number of people that have died from a heat stroke. They had, but they believe it's much more because they're still, of course, sometimes you don't know until you find people. The other thing is I was looking at one of the young men who was working outside who died, and not sure why he wasn't being given water breaks or allowed to have water, but I think that was an issue. Is the mother is pursuing that. Is very important that during this time that you do drink plenty of water. You don't have to gulp it down, but you need to sip. Even if you're not in it, out in the heat for a long list of time, you do still need to sip water, because with the temperatures as high as they are now, they tend to really absorb a lot of the moisture from the body rather quickly. Especially when you're running 100-degree temperatures in your areas, and it's constant, even the high 90s. I'm one of the people that love warm weather, but I've noticed a significant change. And so, I knew I have to change in terms of how much water I drink, especially when I'm outside. Most of the time, well, like I said, I finish my yard, but I do go out to water plants that don't get water through my sprinkler system. And just the short time I'm out there, I can tell the difference. So it really is important that you really, really work on taking care of yourself during these days of extreme heat. Heat-related illnesses really occur just because the body cannot cool itself down. And then, of course, when your body temperature rises, it produces sweat to stay cool. But on hot, humid days, the increased moisture in the air slows down that process. And when your body can't cool itself, your temperature rises, and then that's when you become ill. And like I said, hot weather and exercise are the main cause of heat exhaustion and heat stroke. And I did go over the symptoms of the heat stroke. Of course, it's mental changes such as confusion. You can get delirious, combative. You can even have a seizure with a heat stroke. Of course, your body temperature go with the stroke, your body temperature normally goes up greater than 104. Whereas with heat exhaustion, you know, it's basically the dizziness, the headache, the nausea, weakness. You got unsteady gait, the cramps, muscle cramps, the fatigue. And really, if you work diligently with resolving the heat exhaustion, it really typically does not require additional intervention. However, though, if it is unresolved and you're throwing up or your symptoms get worse or whatever symptoms you have will last longer than an hour, you still have to have medical treatment. And one thing to remember, heat exhaustion can lead to heat stroke if it's not addressed immediately and appropriately. And, of course, there are a lot of things, like I said, you can do to help prevent this. Like I said, babies and children, elderly, are more sensitive to heat, and they may require extra attention. The other thing, too, and this is so very important, you're at a greater risk if you are ill. So people that have chronic illness are at greater risk, or if you are obese. If you are overly heavy, it's going to affect you too. And anybody that has heart disease, along with people who work outside in a hot setting, are at risk too. And so that's why a lot of times you'll hear them telling people that have chronic illnesses to be careful in going out, try to stay in as much as possible, and go out when you need to. And if you do, do it early in the morning or later in the evening. Those are the things that you need to do. Stay in as much as possible in an air-conditioned area. But if you do have to go, if you do have to go out, like I said, you need to wear lightweight, light-colored, loose-fitting clothing. You do not need to wear dark clothing, but you need to wear something light. You need to protect yourself from the sun by wearing a hat or using an umbrella. And it was a very interesting fact. I think one of the, it was either one of the seminars I went to or it was brought out in one of the messages that initially umbrellas were not developed for rain. They were developed to keep the sun off of you. That was the initial use of an umbrella. So it's very important if you're out and you're going to be out a long period of time, wear a hat or use an umbrella. And I can always remember years ago that when it was real hot, people would carry umbrellas. And again, use sunscreen with a sun protector. It should be 15, SPF 15 or higher. The higher it is, the better it is. The other thing is to drink plenty of water or any other fluids. Especially some sports drink can replenish the salt that your body loses through sweating. So if you're out in the heat and you're doing a lot of sweating, you're losing a lot of sodium. And you know that the two chemicals that control heart function is sodium and potassium. If you are losing a lot of sodium, then your potassium in the muscle is increasing, and that can throw you into irregular heart rate. So it's very important that you drink the water, but sometimes you have to do those drinks like Gatorade. If you're out there for any length of time, I know our security personnel that we keep Gatorade for them because a lot of times they don't always stay in the facility. We usually have our services in upper sanctuary, but we do have a lower sanctuary in which our security people will go in and out, but they do go out periodically to patrol the grounds since the gates are open. And so we make sure we keep a lot of Gatorade available for them. But definitely that and drinking water. And if you're out in a hot environment for any length of time, they are suggesting that you drink fluids every 15 to 20 minutes. even if you don't feel thirsty, because it is important to keep your body temperature down and to keep your electrolytes that control heart function doing what they should do. One thing they said, if your urine is clear, you're probably drinking enough fluid, but if it's dark, that's a sign that you're dehydrated. You should, if you're working or outside for any reason for a long length of time in warm weather, you should avoid or at least limit your beverages that contain caffeine, like tea, coffee, and soda, and alcohol. And usually what I do in the morning, because I love my coffee in the morning, so I usually don't go out in the morning for a little while after I've had coffee. And so caffeine is really a diuretic, so it will cause you anyway to lose fluid. Schedule your activity, like I said. Try to schedule in the morning before 10 if you can, or after 6. I see I was on my way to do some errands for the church, and I happened to see a man out in the middle of the day weed eating. That is absolutely positively the worst time. At 12 o'clock is when it is the highest. And you really want to do whatever you're going to do early in the morning or do it after 6 o'clock. And whatever you're doing and whatever activities you're doing outside, you need to take frequent breaks from the heat. And biggie, do not stay or leave your child in the car where it is hot outside, even if you open the windows. But people don't understand the heat, the temperature in the car is hotter than the temperature outside of the car. And I just saw on the news that a parent accidentally locked her keys or his keys in the car, and the bystanders broke her window in to get the baby out. Fortunately, the baby was fine, a little, you know, heated and got it some fluid, but was fine. And so that's why it's so important. Personally, when I get out of the car, before I get out, my car doesn't normally automatically lock, but I take my keys anyway because I have had my car to automatically lock on me. I don't know what I did that caused it to lock, but when I get out of my vehicle, even if I'm coming home and I'm getting ready, I stop to go to the mailbox. If I don't leave my door open, I take my keys and I go to the mailbox because you never know when something goes wrong and your car just locks. And we've had a lot of people forgetting there, and I'm not judgmental. I just don't know how you can forget you to have a child in the back of your car, but people do that. And, of course, kids are more vulnerable. Their bodies surface less than ours, and so the heat tends to dehydrate them very fast and that's why you have kids that are left in the car, even though it's not for a long length of time. They can die very quickly because their body surface is less, and so that heat just dehydrates them rapidly. I know when they used to come in and they had fevers, the first thing we did was work on the fever. We had to get that fever down, and we had to get it down quickly. And so we have to remember that with our children. We know they want to stay out. We know they want to play. But you have to pick their times that they can go out. So if they want to go out and play, get up in the morning and let them go out and play and then let them come back in. When I lived in El Paso, I know that's what the kids could not go out midday. So they would get up early in the morning, get their breakfast, and they would go out and play. They would come in for the rest of the day and do indoor activities. And then later on in the evening, they would go out. And that was the way, you know, it had to be done because of the heat. And so we want to be careful because I am seeing, according to the news, we're having an issue with heat exhaustion, heat strokes, heat-related death. And we just have to be more cautious in that when we when we're getting overheated, get somewhere cool and quickly, or at least get in the shade. Sometimes you may have to lay down and elevate your legs to get your blood flowing back up to your heart. And really when you're out, and I see this, you really should not be wearing any tight or extra clothing because of the temperature that we have been experiencing statewide. I think the biggest thing that we're trying to really, really encourage, a lot of people don't like water. They're not used to drinking water. And so it becomes an effort for them to increase their water intake at this time, but you must do that. You must provide adequate fluid for your body to function adequately in this type of weather. There are, I know in our area, when it's extremely, extremely hot, high 90s and 100s, they open one of our centers, and it's a cooling station where people can go in, especially those that are homeless. They can go in and sit and cool off, which is very, very important. So we want to take all the precautions that is necessary to keep us cool during this period. You know, typically August has been the hottest month, but we've already experienced a lot of heat. And from what I am hearing from the news, that going to remain so throughout this month. And so we don't really know what August is going to be presenting in terms of temperature-wise. And so, yeah, it's just important that we remember the it's just little small things that we can do to make sure that we do not fall into more concern about the heat cramps, the heat exhaustion, and the heat stroke, because once you start with the cramps, moving up to the exhaustion, then you move up to the heat stroke, and the heat stroke is a very, very serious situation, and that's where we're getting a lot of these heat-related deaths, is because people are experiencing heat strokes. Their body temperature is reaching a level where it cannot regulate itself, and it's causing all of the systems to go into a irregular working time, and because it's trying to, and if you know anything about a body, it will do whatever it can to keep itself alive. But there's sometimes things happen that it just can't overcome that deficit that it's experiencing. And so we as good keepers of our temple, we have to do all those things that are important and necessary to avoid falling into these categories of heat-related illnesses, which can, like I said, ultimately lead to organ failure, brain damage, and and in most serious case is death, and then we are seeing that. And like I said, they're still counting in one area. They're still counting, you know, to see how many deaths they have had. And so that's it for me for tonight. If there are no questions or comments, you have a good evening. And we will talk again. Like I said, next week, if nothing else goes on, I want to talk about colon cancer because it's making headlines again. And so if it's making headlines, it's worth reviewing again. So have a good evening, and we'll be blessed and stay cool.
Good evening. This is Brother Dwayne Harshaw. Once again, the Lord has blessed and allowed me to be a part of another program tonight, this ministry program. Family knows best. And you know, that's what we look for, our loved ones and our family, to do the things that we should do in the right way, to share the word of God with them.